Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
That's how we start. Here we go. 3 hours of Buffalo Bills talk, NFL talk. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Orchard Park. As you can see, the tarp is off, or is coming off. Looks like they are removing the tarp as we speak. If you're watching on MSG, removing the tarp from the field at New Era Field. I don't think there's any snow in the forecast the rest of the week. And we got the Bills and the Baltimore Ravens in a very, 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 very big game coming up here on Sunday. The 10-2 Ravens, the 9-3 Buffalo Bills. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm John Murphy. This is Steve Tasker. His name's on the wall over there. Bills Wall of Famer, our co-host again today here until 3. Good show today. Big game today. I gave it to you. I wrote a post that I write every week previewing what the big storylines will be this week.
Yep.
One of them was meaningful December football in Orchard Park. Been a while, right? And thanks to Mike Heim, Bill's statman, Mike Heim, and his group, Chris Jenkins, the Bills' senior director of content, they've come up with some of the more recent games when there was this big a game in Orchard Park. It's been a while. It's been a while, Steve. 1996, the last time, and what's that? 1996 is 23 years ago. That was the last time that the Bills play a game at home in which both the Bills and their opponents have 9 or more wins the 13th week of the season.
Who'd they play then?
Kansas City Chiefs, 96. Were you here? The 9-6 Chiefs, the 9-6 Bills. Bills won at 20-9 back on December 22nd, 1996. They've only played in history 13 times the Bills have played a game in December in which both they and their opponent had 9 or more wins in the first 13 weeks of the season, 13th game of the year. They've only played 4 of those games. Oh, I'm sorry, they've only played 12 of those. This will be the 13th game, and only 4 of those have been at home. So this is only the 5th time in franchise history that the Bills have played a home game in which both they and their opponent in Week 13 have 9 or more wins.
Feels like it.
What? Yeah, right? What does that tell you?
It feels like we don't
get games like this very often here, and yeah. We haven't had one in 23 years since 1996. Last one before that, you'll remember this game, I think, Bills and Lions. December 22nd, 91, you were headed to the playoffs. The Bills lost to Detroit in overtime, 17-14. You had clinched everything, right?
Yeah.
Going to the Super Bowl for the second consecutive year. Right.
Frank Reich's on his birthday. We remember him. It's his birthday today. But Frank Reich quarterbacked that game because we had everything sewed up. In fact, they took so many guys out of that game. I caught a touchdown pass at the end to tie it up.
And then the Bills
and
lost in overtime.
We lost the coin flip. Barry Sanders beat us in overtime.
Now, obviously, that game qualifies as a December game, week 13 or later, with two teams 9 or more wins. The Lions came into that game with 11. The Bills came into that game with 13. You both had everything clinched. The game meant nothing. And so that wasn't really a big game. We haven't had many games like this. 4 times at home.
Well, think about
where there's been a meaningful December game where teams have this record or better at home in December.
It doesn't happen that often around the league, I would think. You know,
I don't know. If you're the Patriots, don't you think you have a ton of those games, or the Saints, or something?
I don't know. Maybe.
I bet you do. Meaningful games.
Yeah, you
in
think
December?
About it. I guess
I
it.
Bet you
maybe.
Well,
yeah. You know, you mention it may happen every year.
Yeah.
To somebody.
Yeah.
Not this team, obviously, for a long time. But yeah, for a lot of people, it might happen every year.
That's what makes this game so compelling this week for those of us here who follow the Bills, cover the Bills, care about the Bills.
Talk about them.
Talk about the Bills. Talk for 3 hours a day about the Bills. You don't get games like this very often around here. We haven't had them. Haven't had one since 1996 with a couple of teams in the stadium here with 9 or more wins in Week 13. It's pretty fun. I have to say, I am consumed by that game this week. You can appreciate this. You did this for years preparing for broadcast. So I'm trying to follow my normal prep schedule. Tuesday night, do the boards, watch a little video, and I've done that. But I want more. I stayed up till midnight last night watching Baltimore Ravens video. Just because
they're really good.
Because they're really good, and I really need to find out about what the deal is with them and their 10 wins, their 8-game win streak.
Lamar Jackson is very good. And one of the things about him, you know, and there's a huge controversy. Just like their guy, their first-round draft pick last year, Lamar Jackson was really controversial. And, you know, people thought, man, maybe, you know, our own Bill Polian said, you know, maybe he should be a wide receiver. They were going to put him out of position, have him change positions, be a running back and do all that. Baltimore drafted him as a quarterback, sat him behind Joe Flacco, and now he's evolved into this. Same thing. He was about as polarizing as our Josh Allen was, our first-round quarterback. People hated Josh Allen.
And at least with Lamar, people could say, well, it was the final pick, right, first round?
Yeah.
So let's get him here so we have the extra year to tack onto his contract, the option here, right? So that's the reason you draft a quarterback in the first round, and many people thought that's what the Ravens were doing. But now he's vaulted to the top of the class, right?
Now he's MVP. he would win the MVP of the league if they voted today.
He would.
Certainly he could lose it now.
Russell Wilson.
All, you know, they got all these other candidate guys who have played extremely well, but he's the MVP. And here's why. First and foremost, obviously, he's a great player. But he's a young, great player. And a lot like Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago, he's in the exact right spot with an organization that had a guy they were ready to move on in Joe Flacco. And they had a head coach with a lot of experience and a lot of margin of error. I mean, John Harbaugh gets the benefit of the doubt because he's been there so long. They've had so much success. He's won a Super Bowl. So he had the wherewithal to say, you know what? All right, here we're going to try this with him, and we're going to go all in. They cut their receiving core from a year ago, brought in bigger blocking kind of wide receivers. They went with a bunch of tight ends. They have a 300-pound fullback. They run the ball, and they run it a ton. And what they are doing to me, and I'm in its most basic form, is they've got a big, strong front with a bunch of big, strong guys on the offensive side of the ball, and they plow people over. They grind it out. They got a quarterback that can bust a big one. Mark Ingram is also a very good running back. He can carry a team offensively on his own. He's a starting running back in the National Football League, a very good back. He ran against the Bills when the Saints came in here 2 years ago and lumped up the Bills with
130
yards on 12 carries or 24 carries, something like that. He dominated. He was great. He can play. So they got him. They got a 300-pound fullback. They got a couple of big tight ends that are big, nasty, physical guys. And they got a quarterback who's 6'2", 212, and can run. To me, teams are built now to fly around and cover the pass. They got 220-pound linebackers now everywhere.
Yeah.
They're all over the league, 230-pound linebackers. It's not like, you know, Reggie Ragland that Bills drafted 3 years ago in the first round, he's a 255-pound stuffer. You know, nobody's got those guys anymore. They're all, even Tremaine Edmonds, as big as he is, he's built to be rangy.
Yeah.
You know, so they're now, they've gone against the kind of the norm of the league and said, okay, you guys are going to all do this passing thing and fly around, have guys that can play well in space. Or how are you playing in a phone booth with a bunch of bullies? You know, that's the way the Ravens are winning games, and you got to contend with it.
Baltimore offense is very good, right? Number one rushing attack in the league, number two offense overall. Sean McDermott acknowledged that in his news conference today. One of his first comments today, about 45 minutes ago, was about the Baltimore Ravens offense.
Really good offense, really good team, well coached. You know, they're good at what they do, obviously. It's a unique challenge for us and probably for most teams around the NFL because of the system that they run. So, we continue to work through it and be a challenge for us.
Yeah, it's a challenge. Yeah, great rushing team. They average 208 yards rushing per game. No team has ended a year averaging 200 or more yards on the ground since the NFL went to a 16-game regular season. They average 5.6 yards per carry. At that pace, they'd finish second all-time to the 1963 Cleveland Browns with Jim Brown.
And the thing about it is, it's not like they can't throw it.
Well,
they can throw it.
That gets us into our discussion today. I do want to say this. One element of their success this year has been the total commitment to running the ball, and I think you got to credit Greg Roman for that. The offensive coordinator, Eric Wood, pointed it out with us a couple of days ago. Greg Roman had a mobile quarterback in Colin Kaepernick way back when in San Francisco. Had the same thing here with Buffalo. Tyrod Taylor got the most out of Tyrod Taylor. And now he's got the, as you call him, the atomic bomb at quarterback, you know, with Lamar Jackson, and he's really committed to the run. They have committed to the run. I told you, I went looking at the video yesterday, the Ravens video, watched a couple of games, thinking, what do they do schematically? What are they doing schematically to have all this production? And I told you, I came away thinking, it's not scheme. It's physicality. It's the way they play. They go hard. They block incredibly. Those tight ends, look, they're pretty good receivers. I think they have like 100 catches between the three of them, but they really block those tight ends. Nick Boyle, Mark Andrews, even Hayden Hurst, they really good blockers. They have a huge fullback that you talked about. The offensive line is solid, and they're physical defensively too. It's not scheme for them, and the scheme is interesting, and Sean said, you know, a minute ago, it's unique. But it's really the commitment to the run and the commitment to being physical. They are as physical a team the Bills have faced so far this year, by far.
By far. And because they're built for it. And they're built for it, like I said, in a time when the league is starting to be built less like that. The trend is away from the big physical mentality. It's more about speed and covering play, and speed and covering the whole field as a defense and running with the tight end down the seam and having a, you know, when you got guys like Tyreek Hill and John Brown and all these fast guys out there who can scatter and cover the whole field really quick, you got to have light, fast guys who can run with them. Well, not now, not against this Baltimore Ravens team. You got to be big, physical, and have some size and some commitment to getting punched in the mouth or punching somebody in the mouth.
Yeah.
It's a different game, and they're making hay with that.
I'm going to get to our Twitter question here in a second. We've already had people making suggestions. Will the Bills have to get a spy on Lamar Jackson? You know what? That's not going to do it because they commit to the run. They have the fullback lead blocker for the quarterback. They have the running back lead blocking for the quarterback. Tight ends, two of them sometimes, lead blocking for the quarterback. A spy, okay. Spy gets caught up in the blocking. Now what? Now you need, what, two spies?
Spy gets blocked.
Yeah. It's just, look, there's no simple way. We have the Twitter question today, and it's pretty simple, and I will take all comers on this. What's the key for the Bills to defend Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson? What do you think? Is it a player? Is it a scheme? Maybe you got something in mind. Maybe you got some defensive coordinator in your background. Is it a way to play? I think it might be, and I think I've already hinted at this, being really physical, uber physical, being like over the top physical, even if it means taking a penalty or two because you hit the quarterback this late or you hit the quarterback this high. You know what I'm saying? I'm not advocating that, but be ready to go after this guy. Be ready to hit this guy, to put him on the ground and make him feel it. You got to make him feel it. You want to run the quarterback that much? There's a price to pay. Let's see if the Bills can make him pay that price. I think, to me, that's the key to defending Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think you got to take away their options. When they do the read option, they're so adept at it. He's so good at ball handling. You don't know who's got the ball. Even Eric Weddle, the veteran safety who's he playing for now? Eric Weddle is playing for – he was with Baltimore, and was with San Diego. Now he's playing with the Rams. He said, I don't even know. There were times back there when the Rams were playing the Ravens, he didn't know who had the ball. And that's a problem. And I think in that case, you've got to make him make you got to make the choices for the quarterback. If the quarterback is going to fake like he's going to keep it, he's going to have to hand it off every time or he's going to get hit in the mouth. And even if he does hand it off, he's going to get hit in the mouth. I mean, you got to tackle him. You got to make the choices for the quarterback in those defenses. Really hard to do because you only got so many guys. And, you know, you've got to have enough guys to cover the run game, even if you do have somebody going after the quarterback every play. It's really rough because you also have to cover plays that aren't mesh option plays, you know, when it's just a plain play action or when it's a straight drop back. Well, then what are you going to do? You know, I mean, you've got to have a plan for all of those plays and execute it perfectly. And they're really physically dominant in the way they play. And I think that's the way they beat the San Francisco 49ers, even though it was a close game. And they managed to, you know, keep eking out these victories. They got 8 wins in a row. They were 2-2 to start the year. So you kind of found themselves in that first month. And man, oh man, have they taken off since. 8 wins in a row.
There's one other aspect of dealing with Lamar Jackson that I've been thinking about for a couple of days now. And it came from our guest on Monday, Brian Baldinger, who played offensive line in this league, played for the Bills a little bit, now an analyst on NFL on Fox. I got the quote right here. Baldinger told us this Monday about Lamar Jackson. Quote, the one thing you cannot do is you cannot be discouraged because Lamar is going to make plays. He's going to wow you. He did it against the 49ers. There are things he's just going to do. You cannot get demoralized. You cannot hang your head after a big play. You just got to play the next play. I think that's really good advice. And like I said, you might get flagged for a 15-yard penalty for a late hit or a close to out of – look, they're going to protect this guy because he's, you know, he's the face of the NFL right now. They're going to protect him and throw flags. Sean Smith is our referee on Sunday, by the way. They're going to protect him, but don't be afraid to hit the guy. You got, and I don't think the Bills will. Be ready to hit the guy. Make him pay if he wants to run it 25 times a game. Make him pay. Put him on the ground. And if you get flagged for it, and if he makes a big play, as Baldinger says, don't be discouraged. Get ready for the next play. Yeah. We'll take your thoughts on this. What do you think? What's the key to defending the Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson? Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can do it on Twitter. You can send in a tweet, and you can give us a call. We'd love to talk to you about it.
Later on, we're going to have Field Yates on, and we talked to him about stuff that's going around the National Football League. He's our regular guest on Wednesdays. He's coming on today, and we talk about fantasy football as well. Everybody's in their playoff mode now. But he had this great stat that came out about the two quarterbacks playing in this week's game here in Buffalo, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Combined, they have 1,407 yards rushing this season. That represents the most combined rushing yards on the season by opposing quarterbacks in the same game in NFL history in the 100th year.
It's an amazing stat.
These two guys have rushed for 1,400 yards, over 1,400 yards combined, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and they're meeting in this game on Sunday, and it's a most rushing yards quarterbacks have walked into a game with in NFL history.
Lamar Jackson could set the NFL record for quarterback rushing yards in a season this Sunday here in Buffalo. I think it's like 63 he needs to surpass the Michael Vick record. Yeah, he's 23 away from 1,000. That's an amazing stat, too. Hey, Field Yates, as Steve said, coming on with us at 1. We're going to go to practice in a couple of minutes. Chris Brown, Bills insider from BuffaloBills.com, on the field inside the at Pro Sports Training Center. We'll get his look and his thoughts on what's going on out there at practice. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler joins us a little bit later on this hour in town covering the Bills. Field Yates, and then after practice, Taron Johnson, Bill's nickel corner. He's got to have some thoughts on what to do with Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens offense. And we'll hear from quarterback Josh Allen coming up after practice as well. Bill's out there right now. They started a few minutes ago getting set. Ty Insecki, according to Sean McDermott, making progress with his ankle injury. It may be some limited work in the pipeline here for Ty Insecki today. Some limited work. McDermott said he'll be on the field. He'll be out there. Referee Sunday, as I said, is Sean Smith. The weather is going to be mostly cloudy skies on Sunday, high 43, winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Not bad. And, of course, we got the broadcast here on our flagship radio station, WGR Sports Radio 550. I'll be there with Eric. Sal will be in the sidelines. It's going to be a great game. And as I said, as big a game as a December game as there's been here in Orchard Park in,
over
at least according to the numbers, 23 years. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, and it's going to be really telling as well because this is a team, both these teams believe they're going to get into the playoffs. And under whatever circumstances you want to conspire, they could meet again. Ostensibly, the way things stand now, it would be in Baltimore if it's in the playoffs, but it could be wild card, it could be division round, it could be championship game. It is these two teams are going to have something to say about who represents the AFC in the Super Bowl if they can get in, if both teams can get in, and both of them look like they're on a collision course to do that. So, Buffalo and, of course,
Baltimore
as well. I mean, both these teams, Buffalo maybe could. I've entered like 16 different permutations you could get in and clinch a spot this weekend, but certainly Baltimore can and maybe already has clinched a playoff spot. So these are two teams that are playing well late in the season. It's a big game. It's a lot of fun to be a part of it, and it's going to happen right here in Orchard Park.
Just looking up Sean Smith, the referee, he had the Bills-Giants game back in week 2, called nine penalties in that game. Is that it? Just total of 9 in that game?
I guess on us or them?
I think it's total. I have to look that up. 9 penalties called in that game. Sean was the guy we had at training camp, not this past summer, but the summer before.
Oh, yeah.
Remember we sent him to Mulberry and they loved us for it? We sent him to Lackawanna.
One on their good list.
Yeah, he's in his second year as a referee.
I'll bet you they'll go back over there.
Mulberry. If you want to meet the ref.
Yeah, go ahead. Don't do that because, or somebody go over there and comp him.
Yeah, pick up the tab.
Pick up the tab for him, right?
All right, good show. Bills practice going on right now, and Chris Brown standing by. We're going to get to him when we come back. Come on back with us. We're just getting rolling here. One Bills Live presented by Collada Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy and Steve Tasker coming to you from our One Buffalo studio, the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. Right on the other side of the wall, practice is underway. The Bills on their Wednesday practice getting set to play the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday here in Orchard Park. And our man Chris Brown standing by live at practice on the sidelines. Hello, Chris Brown. Come in, Chris Brown. How have you been? I haven't talked to you in a while. You good?
Doing well, thank you. Yeah, ready to go out here.
Yeah. Hey, we were talking, Steve and I, about the nature of this game. As big, I mean, the numbers support it. There hasn't been a game featuring two teams with this kind of record in Orchard Park in like 23 years. And yet, from what I know of Sean McDermott's approach and his players' approach, that'll be pretty business-like atmosphere, I would think, out there at practice today, right? If it's as big a game as we think it is, you might not be able to tell it from the way the Bills are working today. True, false?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if there are any fans out there that are worried about the Bills getting full of themselves after a big win on a national stage last week, all you have to do is point to the team they're playing this week, which is the hottest team in football. It's very easy to refocus the lens as a team when you're playing a team that has had as much success as the Ravens have had, which is 8 straight wins, guys. It's easy to get ready for a team that's on an 8-game winning streak that's lighting up the league the way the Ravens are if you're the Bills.
One of the things that continues to be a plus for the Buffalo Bills is the fact that Ty Nsekhe is the only guy on the injury report. Murph doesn't want me to talk about the injuries. He thinks it's going to jinx the team somehow. We've got to knock on wood. But it's really been an amazing stretch by this team that they stay so healthy this deep into the season.
Right, and the bonus for them, at least on the backside of this Thanksgiving game, is extra rest. So there, you can already see here, just in the first 15 minutes of practice, there is a spring in the step of a lot of players, and it's because, in large part, they basically got an extra 3 days off, at least in terms of staying off of their joints, off of their feet, to kind of recharge the batteries here as they head into the home stretch of the schedule.
I got to tell you, too, 3 days off is an eternity in the midst of an NFL season. They're going to get a lot of benefit from that, but only if they can use it efficiently. What do you think has been the difference in routine, if any, because of the long week?
Well, I mean, I don't think it really changes much for them. I mean, Wednesday is a regular Wednesday now. I think the changes were more impactful last week going into the Dallas game. On the backside, you've got more than enough time to get yourself right to prepare yourself for this game with all the extra time you had afforded to you. And Coach has mentioned it. To the players' credit, they've done the right things to take care of their bodies, even the rookies, because this is all new territory for them, especially from this point forward, because this is conference championship week in the college game. And then after that, it's essentially a month off. Yes, they're practicing, but a month off of game action for those teams that were going to bowl games or in the college football playoff. So even though this is uncharted territory, a lot of these young players, I talked to Devin Singletary last week, and he told me, I'm taking care of my body. I'm going in for treatments and all of that stuff, even though I have a 22-year-old body that feels pretty good even at this late stage of the season, I'm still doing the right preventative stuff so my body's ready to perform here down the stretch.
Chris Brown joins us from the sidelines at Bills practice inside the AdPro Sports Training Center. And, Chris, Josh Allen and the Buffalo offense, it took a while, like a little bit longer than half the first half of the season, but I think the Bills have found their recipe for offensive success, at least some offensive efficiency. A little bit of no huddle, not a fast-paced no huddle, but a little bit of no huddle and a lot of 11 personnel. I would not look for any reason why, even against this tough Baltimore defense, why they might want to come out of that this week, huh?
Yeah, I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
Right.
So it's what has really marked the turnaround for the offense in a couple of areas, most notably point production. I think to a degree almost as important, offensive efficiency and consistency of play. And I'll go back to the Dallas game as I did on the heels of it when I was on with you guys last Friday. There was a stretch coming out of the locker room after halftime where Josh completed 11 straight passes over the course of three possessions. The first three possessions of the second half had 11 straight completions mixed in with some run plays, and the team put 13 points on the board and essentially put the game away. That kind of consistency did not exist previously before this team decided we're going to be a no-huddle team and we're going to change tempo, and our offensive coordinator is going to watch what the defenses are doing from up above in the coach's booth. So you roll all that together, and it's a big reason why the offense has kind of caught fire, found a measure of consistency, has gelled, and been able to perform no matter what the opponent has thrown at them defensively. So even though you're playing probably the most complete team you've seen this season, there's no reason to change that until that opponent dictates that you have to try something different. So I would assume contingency plans will obviously be in place as they are every week, but I don't see them turning to that unless they absolutely believe it's necessary.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to the fact that this team has evolved so far from where they were in the first month of the season, because remember, we had long conversations on this show with you and other people on the show about how the Bills struggled in the third quarter of most of these games. That has kind of ceased to be the case. At least this last week, it ceased to be the case because, you know, they came out, Josh Allen was very sharp coming out of halftime. It's something that they had struggled with earlier in the season. And I think it's one more way that this is a completely different football team in week 14 than it was in week 2, 3, 4, 6, 7.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the key here is getting off to a fast start at the beginning of the game. And maybe defensively even more than offensively. The Ravens are now, I mean, the Ravens score like crazy no matter what quarter it is, but they get off to an especially quick start at the beginning of games. And I think part of the reason for that is because their offense is so unique looking. So I even asked Coach the question today at his press conference about an hour ago. I asked him, as much as you prepare for the uniqueness of this Ravens offense, which deploys three tight ends in a way that no other NFL team does, although teams are already beginning to copy it to a certain extent, mixing in plays here and there. We've seen it with some other teams in recent weeks. It's still, despite how much you prepare for it, a shock when you're on the field and it's coming at you live at 100 miles per hour. And so the challenge for the Bills defense this week is maybe not necessarily to completely neutralize it, because nobody's proven they can to this point, but I think the biggest challenge is going to be to adjust to it as quickly as possible to make the reads you need to make to keep gains to a minimum on the part of that Baltimore offense.
Chris, I have one more question for you about the Buffalo offense, and that's Devin Singletary. Motor has become the motor of the Buffalo offense, and you wrote a great piece on BuffaloBills.com about his childhood connection to Lamar Jackson. That was a really good piece. Talk to us about it a little bit.
Yeah, so when Devin Singletary was a 9-year-old youth football player in the South Florida Youth Football League, one of their chief rivals, he played for Deerfield Beach, one of their chief rivals was Pompano, which is about 10 minutes away. So close proximity, rivalries and all that. And yes, there were rivalries like this even in 9-year-old football. And the guy on the other team was Lamar Jackson. So he faced Lamar Jackson at the age of 9. Lamar's team got the better of Devin's team, even though it was back and forth between those two guys. Devin had 2 touchdowns in the game. Lamar had 2 touchdowns in the game. Lamar had the game-winning touchdown as they beat Deerfield 21-14. But they have never seen each other on opposing sidelines since that game in Little League football at 9 years old. They followed each other's careers through high school and college, but again, never played against each other. So here we are this Sunday, the first time they're going to meet one another on a football field for the first time in 13 years to kind of relive those youth football rivalry matchups.
I got to get that film.
Yeah, it's a great story. Hey, Chris, thanks. We'll talk.
You got it, guys.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com on the sidelines at practice. Bills in their Wednesday practice getting set to play the Baltimore Ravens. As we said, the only guy probably going to be in the injury list is offensive lineman Ty Nsekhe, who missed last week with that ankle injury. Making progress, according to Sean McDermott. May get in limited work today. We'll see. And look, I'm not – you can talk about how healthy they are. I get that. I just – look, injuries, there's a little bit of luck involved. I don't want to tempt fate, you know. Yeah, they've been pretty lucky. Let's just say leave it at that. they haven't found the magic elixir to prevent injuries here.
I think there's a little more than luck to it.
There is a little more.
They did the same thing last year, and they pumped $20 million into something that really worked well for them last year.
Yep.
And now it's continues to be consistent. And I think that's something that that's an enormous difference maker for a team this deep into the season when you have all your best guys ready to go. You don't get that very often. And you get to the end of the season when teams are playing in the Super Bowl, you'll find a lot of times that there'll be a story coming out of those Super Bowl weeks where one of the reasons these teams are here is because they stayed healthier than other teams in their division or other teams in their conference or other key teams in their conference. It's always one of the things that's a positive for a team that goes a little further than you thought they might.
The new room, weight room means a lot. The training regimen means a lot. Luck means a lot, too, when it comes to avoiding injuries.
I think. I mean, listen, the game is off the hook when you get out there and you're playing against people. You don't know where you're going to end up and how it's going to happen. But I'll tell you this, too. They call it a weight room. And we have a ton of times to call it. It's not a weight room over there. It's way more. I mean, you walk by it when you're at the games or you come here to the facility to get a tour or whatever. And it looks all cool. They got all these racks of and all the, you know, this. It's really a great facility. It has – that's like – not what it's about. It's about other stuff. It's about maintenance, staying healthy, getting healthier, getting preventative treatments so that you won't get injured, so you won't pull a muscle at the wrong time. We've had a couple of guys pull hammies. It's been like the injury this year for the Bills.
Sure.
During training camp, during the regular season, a couple of guys got it. Robert Foster's dealing with it. Now he's back on the field. So that building and that stuff it's not as much about getting guys big and fit and strong as it is about keeping them healthy. And that's, it's nice to see at this point of the season when you got all your guys.
What's the key for the Bills in defending Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson? Brownie got into it a little bit. Let's hear what your thoughts are. 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550. Steve on the line from New Jersey. Hello, Steve. Go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, how you doing? I just wanted to say it's such an honor and privilege to speak to both of you. Growing up in New Jersey, I'm 32, so I just recently got the radio app so I can listen to you guys all the time. But, you know, I can vividly remember, Murph, your call for the greatest comeback. And, Steve, all my online passwords are Tasker89. I want to name my dog Tasker. So, it's just an honor and a privilege to speak to you guys.
Thanks, actually, Steve. You know? That's awfully nice.
Thanks, Steve.
How many dogs? We'll get to your question. How many dogs do you think are named after you?
I don't know.
Dozens.
Over the years?
Dozens. Hundreds.
No, I'm double digits.
Double digits. Go ahead, Steve. You had something else, I think.
Yeah, so I just wanted to I've been thinking a lot about the game, and, I love football, played football, coached a little bit. So I think the three keys for the Bills, if they're going to win this game, number one would have to be they have to create some turnovers. If you look back at the Ravens game, especially in the last eight, they haven't turned the ball over very much. And in the games that were closer, you notice that, you know, they've been getting turned over. So I can see the Bills this week, if they're going to win this game in the fashion that they, you know, it's like a miracle season, there might be some crazy turnovers, and that's what they're going to need, one, to, you know, come out with a win. The other thing I think that needs to happen is they need to run the ball efficiently. If you look at the Ravens, they have a top eight run defense, but the guys this morning were saying that if you look at yards per play, they let up like a decent amount of yards per play. So it's a little bit not telling, that they can be run on. You know, you saw with the Niners ran the ball a little bit. They had a long touchdown run on them. So I think Singletary could have a coming out party, especially with that story that Chris did, I read yesterday. That's pretty cool. I can see him making some plays as well as Lamar Jackson. Obviously, you're not going to be able to stop him. And the last thing is on defense, I know Steve talked about it a little bit, but, you know, when you're playing against that type of offense, like an option RPO type offense, it's all about assignment football, you know. So the way to beat them is not to be more aggressive and, you know, hit harder, run faster. It's more about, you know, each guy has a guy on that play. So if they're about to fake the handoff, someone's got to tackle that guy regardless. And someone's got Lamar and so on down the line. So I believe that, you know, you're not going to stop them completely, but that option offense RPO is about breaking big plays. So if they can limit those big plays by playing sound assignment football, I think we're going to have a chance. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to me, and go Bills. Let's go Buffalo. I got out to a game, actually, week 9. I was first row, Bills sideline. It was absolutely incredible. First of
great. Weekend. Thanks,
good
Steve.
Stuff. Thanks,
we'll
Steve.
Take a Steve.
And if you do
there.
Name your dog after, make sure it's like a pit bull or, you know, a German Shepherd or a Doberman or something, because I've got enough miniature poodles named after me that you could.
Yeah. Steve had turnovers. Thanks, Steve. As a key.
Run the ball.
Run the ball
Buffalo.
Well. I think that is important. And there's a time of possession thing going on here, too. As right. dynamic as the Baltimore offense is, if you can limit their possessions, you go at least take a step and maybe keeping them off the scoreboard a little
bit.
Yeah,
and the third one, yeah, I agree. And it's a different guy every defensive call, too. But you got to get somebody. You got to be able to make one-on-one tackles, which is – tough, because Lamar, we've seen you've seen all the highlights. If anybody follows them, the league, Lamar's made some guys look bad in the open field. You got to be able to tackle him in the open field. He makes people miss, and he makes them miss badly. You can't let him do that. If he does, you know, he's going to snap off a big play that maybe you could have stopped for no gain. That's the kind of thing that happens against the Ravens, and I think you got to constrict their space and. You know, and tackle when you get a chance to tackle them. And if you can do that, you do some things that maybe other teams have struggled with. You see here, people watching MSG watch what he did against the Niners. They got guys that just don't look at him. They don't look at Lamar. That mesh point with Mark Ingram and Lamar, he rides Ingram all the way down into the line of scrimmage. I think you got to tackle him. In that sense, even if he ends up handing the football off, you got to make that decision for him and tackle him, and tackle him hard. And then the rest of the defense has got to tackle Mark Ingram. Now, I don't know. In that particular play, that might work. But there's the problem with another problem the Baltimore Ravens present is the fact that they may not run those plays very often against this defense. You start doing that, then they'll just turn around and hand it off, and then you got to deal with them in a regular run game where they execute very well. So, you may stop one part of their offense or all of it. You got to play disciplined, sound defense. And, of course, if you can generate turnovers, all this goes out the window, because that's all that matters.
What's the key to defending Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson? What do you think? Let's take another phone call here. Matthew in South Buffalo. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, I just want to say I think the Bills are on fire. I appreciate Josh Allen. As a young quarterback, as what he does, he's been such a commitment to Buffalo. And I just want to say, hey, I praise him and give him thanks. Me and my girlfriend watch him. Jenna, you know, she loves him too. And he is the best Russian person. Like, listen, he run tackles in. Like, if they give him a fake, right, he goes right in there and he runs the ball. He's not afraid to do anything. So he has the balls and he has the guts, and we're lucky to have him. And you guys got – I'm looking at the 4-game schedule. The only thing I think about is the New England Patriots. You guys got 3 wins. New England's going to be your loss. That's
all right. Thank you. Let's go to Lyle in Newfane. Hello, Lyle. You're on the air.
Yes. The way to defend him, I would say, is put a spy on him. But the other thing I want to ask you is the referees. There's been a lot of personal foul calls. And most of it is done one side or the other, you know, and it seems like it's going against one team or the other. And I think the referees are putting too much pressure on all the teams with this new the new rules that they've got. Personal fouls, you know, I think they can put those to bed.
Huh.
Man, these guys play football.
No, they need personal fouls. I disagree with that, Lyle.
Yeah, and putting a spy on Lamar might work once or twice, but it's not going to work for the entire game because what happens when the spy gets blocked or they got two lead blockers and you have one spy? It takes a whole defensive effort, and it's not going to be and that's one of the reason we asked this question on Twitter, how do you defend him? I don't think there is one magic wand that you can wave over this. Otherwise, all these other teams would be doing it. Here's the thing. You got to take what the Bills do defensively. They're good players, the players they depend on, what their players can do against other teams, and most importantly, what you think your defensive personnel can do against their offensive personnel. What matchups are in your favor? What matchups can you win? What do you think you can do against Baltimore? And then what can you use those personnel matchups for to take away what Baltimore does? I mean, that's the way this game works. You can't do what 49ers did. You can't do what the Kansas City Chiefs did. You can't do what the Steelers did. You can't do any of those teams because you've got different players. You've got to use your strengths against what the Baltimore Ravens do well. And right now the Ravens are doing what they do well better than the teams are against them. It's that simple. So the Bills have a different problem than the Niners did. The Bills have a different problem than the Cleveland Browns did. They have a different problem than the Chiefs did because the Bills have to do it with their personnel, and they're different. In some ways, the Bills' personnel probably better than a lot of those teams. But that's the matchup you got to work with. It's not the same plan that any of these other teams used. They got an 8-game winning streak for a reason because they got a bunch of good guys that are playing really well, and they're tough to match up against. So that's the obstacle in the road for the Bills right now.
Come back with more. Maybe you got an answer. What's the key to defending Lamar Jackson of the Ravens? We'll be back and maybe get to the tweet sheet when we return. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. Live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, the lineup of guests here today. We got Jeremy Fowler from ESPN going to stop by here at 1 o'clock. He's in town covering the Bills. Field Yates joins us during the 1 o'clock hour. He'll take your fantasy football questions. I believe we're in playoffs now for fantasy football players. After the Bills practice, around 1:30 or so, they'll wrap up. Taron Johnson will join us. We'll hear from Josh Allen after practice as well. Want to hear from you. I'm really looking for an answer for this question. The key to defending Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. To be honest, the key to defending the Ravens, I think, is maybe the central question here, not just Lamar Jackson. And I think I came up with my answer, and it's not the only thing they need to do, but you need to be physical. You need to match their physicality. You need to hit often and hard, and that's the key to any time a defense is playing, but especially this team, which is so physical. What do you think? We need your solutions. Let's go to Mark in Tonawanda. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Steve, I think I said last time, you know, the offense, has to be centered more around Josh Allen. And I think they've done a great job as of late. Josh Allen's been thriving. And obviously the defense has to come up big. And I think Ed Oliver's going to be a key. He needs to have another big game like he did with Dak Prescott. And but I want to see a little back and forth between Allen and Lamar Jackson. I want to see Allen have that breakout, huge stat, put up big stats against this Ravens defense. I think that's key. If they can go, match them points for points, it's going to be a close game. I'd like to see, the Bills get in the 30s, and we'll see what happens. But I think, that's what I want to see. I want to see Allen just outplay Lamar and kind of beat him at his own game. I want to see what you guys think. Have a Merry Christmas.
Well,
talk to you.
Yeah, certainly that would be a lot of fun to watch, Mark, but you're talking about two offenses that are really good, no question. In fact, Baltimore's offense is really good, but you're talking about two defenses that are allowing over the last five or six games 13 points a game. And so if you think you're going to see a shootout by these two teams, I'm kind of having a hard time seeing that. I think you're going to see, if the Bills play their best defensively and the Baltimore Ravens are who we see that they are, I think this is going to be a game like it was last week for the Ravens. Against the 49ers. It's going to be like a 20-17 game, 23-20 game, 17-14 game. It's going to be – points are going to be hard to come by. I don't think it's going to be a quarterback shootout. Now, you might see these two quarterbacks duel it a little bit, guys running – our guy running the football, their guy running the football, and kind of playing the quarterback position the same way. But I have a hard time seeing a shootout. Do you, Murph?
Yeah, both defenses are good. The Bills' defense – really good, and Baltimore's defense is solid. And I repeat what I was saying, they are physical. They fly around and hit people. They got a rookie playing linebacker, Jalen Ferguson, who's really good. Patrick Owosor, I got to get his name right, Onwosu is a really good outside linebacker. Matthew Judon had a great game a couple of weeks ago. I was watching it last night against the Houston Texans. The back end is good. They've got Marcus Peters, who I think struggled, by the way, in the Niners game. And I don't know if Marcus Peters is kind of he was one of the premier corners in the league for a while, acquired in a trade earlier this season with the Rams. I don't think his game is quite there yet with the Baltimore Ravens, but it's still a solid defense. I don't think it'll be a high-scoring game. I really don't. Call here from Robert in Niagara Falls. Hello, Robert. Welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing, Murph?
Hi.
I want to comment on Lamar Jackson. If the referees allow the two teams to play, instead of just picking all Lamar Jackson because he's such a great quarterback and wants to be the MVP of the league. That's all he's worried about, is MVP of the league. If the Bills defense and the media stay away from the Bills like they did in the four Super Bowls when they got to their heads, then the Bills are going to win.
Robert, question. Are you saying that all Lamar Jackson's worried about is being MVP?
That's right, correct. Because
where do you get that from? I don't see that. In fact, I think he's the exact opposite. I think he's all about winning. I think he's demonstrated that. I love his approach to the game. If I miss something, where do you see that he cares about being the MVP?
If you look at it, Josh Allen isn't even on the MVP of the league. Okay,
Josh doesn't deserve
good
to be.
Reason for that,
right? Yeah, he deserves it. But if the Bills defense plays good and the Bills offense scores, okay, with their two tight ends and their running back. The running back scores a lot of touchdowns and that stuff, but Steve Tasker played in the game when they beat the Houston Oilers, okay? Houston Oilers were beating them like crazy. If you have the confidence and you know you're going to go out there, don't let nobody get in your head that they're going to lose.
Okay? I don't think teams get in this team's head, or media or people get in this bill. I think
this is
one of the things that Sean McDermott does best, I think, keeping his team focused.
Yeah, this is a completely different team and different deal than it was when I played. This is a unique game, and you're facing an offense that's very prolific and it's very unique. for a couple of reasons. One, they've got a quarterback that's unique, and they use him in a way that nobody else uses their quarterback, or at least not as effectively as they use theirs. And two, they've got a lot of talent. They got a really good football team on both sides of the football, and they've got an experienced, very good coach that's getting them ready. They're a handful. They've always been a handful. The Baltimore Ravens are a difficult team to beat year in, year out, because they're well coached and they get good players. And that's what you're facing here. This is a unique Baltimore Raven team because it's the 2019 version with Lamar Jackson on an MVP run. Lamar Jackson, if you spend any time, and not to say anything bad about Robert, but listen, Lamar Jackson could be anything but chasing an MVP. Yeah. He's one of the most humble guys in the league. Right now, he's just happy to be where he's at. He's playing well. He knows he's a good player, but he's not acting like he doesn't seem conceited in the least. He's a humble kid who wants to help the guys around him win. He's having a great season, and those guys love him for it. And to say he's one of these guys that's worried about his own numbers, I don't think that's accurate.
You know, we talked to Judy Batista about it yesterday, and there's news conference video of after the win, a huge win against the Niners, Lamar Jackson with a T-shirt that says, "Nobody cares, work harder." That doesn't sound like a guy who's self-centered, yeah. You know what I mean?
I think
he's a great – there. You know, you see it on MSG. Nobody cares, work harder.
I get it. It's just a – listen, it's just a T-shirt, but you don't wear – he wears that because that's what he's thinking.
It's a message.
It's a message. Listen, he's got bigger things on his mind than one important win over an out-of-conference opponent in the regular season. The guy wants to get to the playoffs and win games and go to the Super Bowl and win that, and he wants to help his team do it. They are hitting on all cylinders. And, you know, I thought about this earlier. They got an 8-game winning streak going, and we see it occasionally where a team peaks too soon. I don't know. They're one of those teams, and now it's with 4 games left. Okay, but they've been playing.
8 straight wins.
Yeah. They're putting it together really well, and I don't know how – I said this about the Chiefs last year. I don't know how you maintain that for 16 weeks. And ultimately, you know, they fell 1 game short of the Super Bowl. It's hard to keep that up. And now this year, you know, they couldn't match that. They can't match that production week in, week.
You know, this got my attention looking at the Ravens. 8 straight wins, right? They haven't lost since the last week of September. You know, they've beaten in those 8 straight wins. They won a game at Seattle. They beat New England. They won a game at the Rams. They just beat San Francisco. They won at Pittsburgh in overtime. 8 straight wins against some quality competition. Now, down the stretch, they get the Bills, the Jets, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh. So the schedule lightens up for them a little bit. They've won 8 straight, and they've beaten really good teams in those 8 straight. That's impressive.
Yeah.
All right, a break.
Playing well.
Yeah, Jeremy Fowler is going to join us when we come back from ESPN. He's in town covering the Bills. Steve Tasker and I, a couple hours to go. Come on and stick with us. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health, coming to you live from the Seneca Studio. Seneca Resorts and Casino, nothing comes close.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.